All right, so what we've been doing is we're going over the letter of Philemon. If you don't have a packet in front of you, go ahead, let me know and I'll give you one. You need one, Big Jim? There you go.
And a pan.
All right. So we're going to jump right in. What's the main point of Philemon? So, remember all our observations we did last week? We had this board full of observations. If we could write all those observations into one sentence. Chris, you look like you got something. So, remember we talked about, like, what's the main point of the letter? So, what is that? I heard some people say reconciliation. Some people say grace. So, what do y'all think? So, looking from what we read, it looks to me, when we see that Paul's interceding, or Paul's coming on behalf of Onesimus to say, hey, Philemon, reconcile this guy to you. If he owes you anything, I'm going to pay it. What's that sound like? Who did that for us? So he's not being, per se, Jesus, but he's doing an act that Jesus had done for us. So would y'all say it's safe to say the main point of that letter would be reconciling? So how would we put that in a sentence? I need y'all's help here. That's my foreign freebie.
I'm afraid to speak this week after last week. So.
What I shared with our table last week was, like, when you're watching a video on it, it was saying that Philemon and Paul and all the messages had talked about the death and resurrection of Jesus, but in this particular book, he didn't. It was because, like, what you're saying is he lived that out to where there was a debt that was owed and he went on. Reconcile that debt. It's like you saying, like, he's not being Jesus, but he's living out that picture of what Jesus did and dying and bearing our weight.
So how do we put that into a sentence? Because this is our overarching, this is the point, this is the all of our observations put in one sentence. I need y'all's help, y'all. Y'all were super talkative last week with your observations. So look at your paper. Yeah. Right, so what did we write down last week? Look at your observations. Remember those questions we asked? The tone and all those other things?
Yeah.
What I need a sentence. We can do this group. So wait, what Trent said, how do we make that into a little bit simpler sentence that I can write down?
Come on, Trent. You're on a roll. That was like a really long sentence.
So it could be long, but I need something that fits right here, bro. Attempting?
No. Don't put attempting.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I will contribute that today. I am confident in that assertion.
All right. So how do we put it in a sentence? Guys, this is the easiest part. We did all the work last week. Was everything just...
I think you go back to what you said. Christ is. I think the way you put it is good. Christ has canceled the debt that we owed, and reconciled us to the Father. That was one sentence. And now you're not. Right.
I'm summing it down. Okay. Reconciliation of one party to another by means of a third party. Okay. That's what I was looking for. Okay. So that's our one sentence. That's what we boiled everything down that we observed from the text. Okay. Now this is where it's going to get really meaty. Interpretation. Okay. So what it meant to the audience and what's the truth we can pull out of that. And we're going to use the whole letter. So there's some other things in there. So this is the main theme of the text, okay? All right. So now, with using this main theme as kind of like our guide, what truths are we going to pull out of this? And I kind of gave you one a second ago. It's related to this main theme. There's going to be some overlap, okay? So this is where we're going to do table discussion. and y'all are going to be the table discussion.
Okay. Right,
we got 10 minutes.
All right.
So, let me read it.
Now we're in we're not observing anymore.
I'll give y'all a summary real quick. So Philemon is, so Paul's writing to Philemon, who was the owner of Onesimus. But Onesimus has, he escaped. So he left Philemon's house, and he went and ministered with Paul, ministered to Paul in prison, Onesimus did. And I guess through the course of this relationship, Paul discovers that Onesimus is an escaped slave, and he writes to, apparently he tells Onesimus, you need to go home, but then he writes to Philemon, he's writing to Philemon here to say, listen, when Onesimus comes home, he's a brother in Christ now, as you are, and so you need to treat him as such. And part of that, he says, if there's anything that he owes you, because whether it be the cost of his own, you know, slavery, because normally you have to be bought out of that, or he stole something, because they say sometimes he might have, like, Onesimus might have stolen money from him so that he could live on the lamb, you know. And so anyway, so he said, if he owes you anything, you put it on my account. Do not hold it against him, you know. And he's in the midst of this, he's saying, like, listen, I could just tell you to do this, but I don't want to do that. I want you to do it because you realize this is the right thing. So that's kind of the whole of the letter. So interpret what it meant to the audience and what truth can we extract. So I agree with what he started out with, which is it's a clear connection to, and I think that's what, you know, Paul, he tries to convey to Philemon in there, is that
So like I said, he took him, Paul took, see, now I'm gonna mispronounce it on, but he took O. He took O.
There you go.
Under his wing, and then so we see discipleship in here, and then we see the grace of God because Paul covered him.
See, yes. Yeah.
You see what, how, like Pastor Lee's point, Paul literally covered him.
Like love covers a multitude,
like,
of sins.
Yeah, he covered. He protected him. He covered him because he knew his heart. He knew his heart for God. So we see discipleship, we see grace because Paul covered him, and then we see that, like by covering him, he on his behalf,
and we see the authority Paul has.
Yeah,
we see with that of
the authority of Jesus, because like I said, like Paul said, like Jesus is in Paul, so he has that authority of Jesus in him. He said, look,
I'm bold enough in Christ to command you.
Yeah, because Christ is in him, so he's bold enough to ask him, forgive this person, reconcile him to you. And like, just like Jesus would, whatever debt he owed, like Jesus said, I will pay that debt.
Yeah.
Bam. Mic drop.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I also kind of thought about, too, like, anybody who... I don't know how to word this, but like they've walked away from the Lord, or maybe they've done something in the body, like to bring offense or something. But that's kind of how I was seeing like Onesimus. Yeah. But then he's saying like,
yeah, that's why, like the whole picture of the gospel,
a beloved brother.
Yeah,
you know, and like
that's what I was saying. Such a short letter, but like you literally get the whole picture of the gospel.
Yeah,
you get somebody that he wronged somebody. He broke a law, whatever.
Yes.
And then you see him, he gets saved. He gets saved, and then he goes under Paul's wing.
Mm-hmm.
Paul that's already followed Christ in him, he takes him under his wing. You see discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches him, he grows him in the word. And then you see Paul affect the God's grace over him, covers him, protects him. And then like I said, he uses that Jesus' authority in him to appeal to the person that his debtor, whatever you call her, and then he asked for with that authority, reconcile this person, forgive him, whatever debt he owes, give it, I'll pay it. So
yeah.
You get like kind of like a such a short book, but you get like, get the whole picture of the gospel, how a practical example of the gospel,
and then the grace of God in the the church and in Philemon to be able to receive someone and look at them in a new way, you know, the way that Jesus would look at them. They're not looking at him as how they, you know, what he may owe to them or how he may have wronged them, but in the way Paul is asking them to look at him, which is how Jesus sees him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, think about, like, in the same way that you forgive others, you'll be forgiven.
Yeah.
You know, like, in that, that manner as well. Like, you know, if we're thinking about the interpretation of what this could mean to the audience, like, as they're learning that as well, like, and Paul appealing to them this very thing, you know, and realizing, you know, I'm just thinking, like, if I'm one of them, you know, hearing this, what it may have meant back then, like, especially the language Paul, I think, uses, like, how he talks about bond servant in the same way, you know, he's talked about how we're bond servants of Christ and no longer slaves but free and different. Yeah. And just some of that language there that they might be able to give.
What it meant to the audience.
Yeah, how it meant certain things to them. And maybe there's a realization of, like, this is what Christ did for me, and I should also do this
to others.
Yeah,
it teaches forgiveness. Yes, what it meant to the audience. Yeah, that's good.
Obviously being overtly sarcastic and even offensively so, but trying to make these people understand this.
Are you talking about in Philemon?
We're using an example from 1 Corinthians.
Gotcha. I like that. I see what you're saying. All right, y'all. Let's start writing down. I'm going to start with this table right here. What's the truth we can extract from the text? That principle, that truth that applies to us. Because if there's no truth in there, there's no principle, it doesn't apply to us. It's useless. It's just history. So what is it in there that applies to us? I'm sorry, what is the truth? Now we're interpreting. See what I'm saying?
The gospel message.
That's too vague. I need something a little more concrete.
Don't say it with so much disappointment in your face. It hurts.
You'd be like, yes, that's true. The question is, what that means.
Sorry, seminary's kicking in.
Well, we see salvation, and then Paul, like, if Paul takes him.
I need a complete sentence. Well, that's, I mean, y'all could be writing this stuff down. So this is, I mean, we're corporately trying to figure this out.
A debt has been paid on our behalf. A debt has been paid on our behalf.
So he's saying a debt.
Debt that we couldn't repay.
All right, that's a complete sentence. Is there anything else?
Like the grace of God to see others how Jesus sees them. Rather than see them as their
The way who sees them? Okay, what about over here?
Laying down the prize.
Ooh.
Because Onesimus was Philemon's slave, our bondservant. So, like, when he was with them before he had wronged and stole or whatever he had done, he had looked down on him as a person, as someone less than him. And so, not only was he someone that was less than him, but someone that wronged him. And now Paul's asking him to come back as someone who's equal and see him as a brother in Christ. And so that's
a lot.
You're gonna lay down your pride.
I like it. You did a great job. That's seriously, that's awesome. Okay, so I wanna make mention of something real quick. So we're looking at a whole letter right now. So there's gonna be different things and different thoughts of the interpretation. Does that make sense? That's what I mean. Like, if we're just looking at one verse, then it's going to narrow down. But we're looking at a whole letter that has a lot of different things going on in it. So this is okay when you're looking at a whole letter. Okay, anything else? Forgive as you've been forgiven. Okay. So I want y'all to think about something. This is a great, that was a great answer, James. I'm not picking on you. Just so Caleb doesn't think so. So more than likely, do you think that, depending on when this letter was written, that these people knew the gospel accounts? They're in Colossae. So,
well, he's writing to the church.
He's writing to the church.
That he led.
So do you think that they had access to all the gospels? Even if the gospels weren't written at that point. I don't know when this, you just, I want you all to think about these things. Because we'll say forgive as you've been forgiven. We understand that concept because we've been exposed to the gospels our whole life. But some of these people are Gentiles, pagan worshipers, you know, crazy. And they hear about this guy, Jesus is Lord. They might not catch all that other context that goes along with it. So that's something I want y'all to think about as we filter through. What did it mean to that audience? Because remember, they didn't have all the Bible. They didn't have all the access and resources that we have. A lot of these Gentiles never knew anything about the Greek Old Testament. We weren't familiar with it. So they hear Jesus for the first time. They're like, what is this? You see what I'm saying? So I just want y'all to think about that as we're thinking about what did it mean to them.
Do we know at this point if Paul has written other letters to them?
Probably. That's just something I want you to think about. That's not something to get stuck on. That's just something to just kind of get your thought process going. Okay. Forgive as you have been forgiven. That works. Okay. Now, we're going application. What's this mean for us? Okay. What I want y'all to understand the difference between application and response. Application is, okay, we're taking this truth that we found here. Okay. How did we find these truths? We observed the text. Now we interpreted the text and we pulled out these principles, these things that Paul or the author was intending to change in those people's lives. There's a behavior that he wanted to change in our life. There was something he wanted to get to them. So that's why we interpreted the text. We extracted that truth from that text. Now we're going to take that truth and what does it mean for us? Okay, that's application. And then response is where we often forget. What do we do about that truth? So this is going to be examples for us. How do we take these truths? These are timeless truths. That's why they apply to every generation. But now we got to figure out the significance of these truths. That's going to be in the application. Does that make sense? How does that, for example, I mean, I've used this example so many times. When Paul was writing about sexual morality, he was not writing about internet pornography. That goes beyond the intended meaning of what Paul intended, but it's an implication because it falls within what? The interpretation, the truth that we extracted from the text. Does that make sense? So, are y'all smelling where I'm stepping in? Does that make sense? So now we found this truth. Now, what do we do about it? Then this is doing something about it. Does that make sense? Okay.
Back to the theme of a debt being paid on our behalf, if you read through Philemon, Paul brings up Onesimus' debt to Philemon.
Yeah.
He owes Philemon. But Paul also brings up the debt that Philemon owes to Paul, and that he owes Paul because he has won Paul to Christ. He has poured himself, or Paul won Philemon to Christ. He's poured the gospel into him. He has enriched the church, helped build it. And so, in that spiritual sense, Philemon owes him. And so, an application we can get out of this in terms of debt is that we owe one another the same forgiveness, the same kindness, the same quickness to lay offense down and
Amen.
To show kindness and love.
I like it. All right, so let's now discuss. And that's a really good point you brought out, Ross. So let's look at what this means for us, okay? Let's keep talking. We got 5 minutes.
Okay.
I came in late, so.
Oh, it's all right. We're talking about Philemon again.
Okay.
We're wrapping it up today, but now we're getting to the main points of the text. Mm-hmm. You know, our final interpretation. And of course, there are plenty more than one because he goes over a number of different points and different themes. And right now we're on application. You know, how do we apply this? How do we apply the interpretation to our lives in the modern age in terms of how we relate to one another? And then we'll finish with our response. What do we actually do about it? If that makes sense. So we've just been talking about using the interpretation to create an application for us. You know, I brought up because the epistle deals so much with debt, you know, and how debt must be paid and how there must be reconciliation, you know, we in the modern church, you know, we are to see the same debt we owe to one another as far as forgiving and showing love and, you know, not holding on to offense, but letting it go, you know, for the sake of unity and for the sake of effectiveness in the gospel. But there are plenty of other applications.
Yeah.
Not just forgiveness.
I remember when God taught me, I think I was about 21. Me and my dad did not have a close relationship. And I think he left my mom when I was about 3. And I didn't know until I was a teenager, like, how much bitterness I had in my heart toward him. But whenever we'd get together, sparks would fly, you know, big time. And you know, lots of conflicts and arguments and that kind of stuff. But it was kind of an interesting season. I had a chance to live with him, like, not living with him my whole life, hardly. And then when I'm in college, you know, living with him for a while.
Yes, y'all are. That's y'all speaking when y'all. Yeah, right. That was good. They got some good stuff, man.
Right. Put it out.
They got some good stuff. We just said it.
Did y'all write it down?
Set us up.
No, we didn't write it down.
Write it down. We got to get them.
Okay, y'all write y'all's 2 points down that y'all did really good on.
Have some blanks in here.
On the back. Just put it on the back here. And then. And I guess that would kind of go, you know, with what you said, Ryan, about the laying down the pride as well. But I like the way you said it about having to, you know, obey no matter what, you know, to do the right thing no matter what. And again, I go back to, you know, the verse that just reminds me of that forgive as you're forgiven, right? And you know, he who forgives much loves much, and or has been forgiven much loves much, and so it that debt that's been paid on our behalf reminds me of that as far as application. You know, that's how I have to live now, is to be able to do that for others.
There's more than one application.
It helps in applying grace when we think like that, because if we don't think about the grace that has been given to us ourselves, then it's almost impossible to give grace to anyone else. I think that's why God reminds us of that so often. So, here, you want a pen?
I think you should speak because yours goes with the main point. Mine's a total different point.
That's what's so nice about it.
Don't start trying to back down.
That's what's so nice about it.
Get away from groupthink.
In fact, you're going to go first.
I'm scared.
And stand up in front of
me. You're a former teacher. Well, you are. You're still a teacher. You just teach at home. You've got this. We're not doing response yet, right?
No, we're about to. I want to spend the most time on responses because that's none of this means anything if you don't. It's history. All right, y'all, we got 30 seconds and then we're going to go into response. Hurry up, Pat. Hurry up, Pat. Pat, 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 Pat. Good. All right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and wrap that part up. Okay. I want y'all to think about this real quick. Does this mean that if somebody comes into the church, gets saved, and it's like, hey, I just gave my life to Christ, you know, I'm radically saved from drugs and all this, but I owe this cartel drug dealer $100,000. Well, Paul paid his debt. So should we?
You should.
No, no. But if somebody, if you read the Bible and you're like, oh, well, Paul did that, so I should go in debt to pay this guy's debt so he doesn't die. Is that a, y'all think that's, you think that's what,
a practical application?
You think that is a, you think that's a solid application of this truth? Now, if God just straight up tells you, go pay that man's debt, and you have the means to go pay that man's debt, or God provides a way for you, now that seems a little bit more, you know. But do you think we should use the Bible to go get in debt?
No.
To go help somebody who put themselves in a bind?
Well, I've done that.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, he says I discourage you. But I just want you to think. I want y'all to think. Because we'll do that so often.
Because the rest of Scripture would indicate to you that you shouldn't.
Doesn't mean you throw away your common sense, you know. Okay, applications. We're going to start with that table over there, Rachel Forster's table.
All right, we said that you're to live daily laying down.
I'm sorry, say that again.
We're to, wait, am I be wrong?
No, you're not.
We are to live daily laying down our lives and our pride and not live entitled.
Wait, say that again. I'm trying to think.
We are to live daily laying down our lives and our pride.
Okay.
So we ran with our theme of laying down our pride. So
live daily to what?
Of like laying down our lives. Like follow Christ. Like said that, you know, I'm a prisoner of Christ in Timothy. And so we're to not be live entitled. So we're to live as bondservants to Christ.
Okay. I like it. Good job. All right, this table.
It is important.
Hold on, Pat.
All right, gotcha. It is important to disciple and cover new believers in Christ.
I like it.
Should we cover the guy who has a $100,000 debt to the drug dealers? You just said we should.
And love.
That would go down to him. So that what you said goes down into the response. All right, so tell me what you said again.
It is important to disciple and cover new believers in Christ.
I love how you said disciple. Is the word disciple used in the text? It's important to cover.
It is revealed in the text.
I was just asking. All right, next table. Ross's table. Y'all got something?
Yeah, we do. As far as application goes, he is encouraging the cancellation of a debt. But one of the items that we came up with was that Paul was not offering, like at one place Paul says that if he owes you anything, put it on my account. But Paul is using that as an expression of a desire for Philemon to take his own step in forgiving that debt.
That kind of stays into interpretation. I need an application.
Oh, my bad. Well,
there's a little overlap. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's why we're working through this corporately.
In that sense, we in the modern day should use the same forgiveness towards one another and not holding our debts, whether they be intrinsic, or whether they be a debt of sin, or even a monetary debt.
I need a simpler sentence.
We should forgive one another.
Hallelujah.
Period.
Amen.
All right, Caleb, say what.
Shoot. She had a good one.
No, mine doesn't even go with the main point.
That's okay. You didn't get to speak it at first.
All right. I was just going to say that when I read this, what stands out to me is how much Paul and Onesimus had this close relationship and love for one another. And he says, you know, my child Onesimus, whose father I became, I'm sending him back to you, my very heart. I would rather have him with me. all this stuff, like it's a heartbreaking letter that this goodbye is happening. And so it stood out to me that he could have kept him. Like, yep. And he chose to break the bond and break their own heart to do what was right. Yep. So he had to completely disregard emotion and feelings for truth.
So what's the application?
So that would be an interpretation. So that's good.
But she has an application.
What's the application?
I do.
Yeah, you have an application. Give until it hurts. Give even when it hurts.
Give when it hurts.
Even when it hurts.
I'm gonna write that.
Should I give $100,000 to the Mexican drug dealer cartel that's in debt? I'm being facetious. Okay. Is there any other is this the only applications?
No.
No. But I want you to see we can funnel our applications through our interpretation through kind of this main point. Does that make sense? And if what you're saying is not related to the text, do you think that was the intended meaning? If it's not related? Remember that context circle we worked with? And we worked our way out and then we had like guardrails? We want to stay within that context circle. Okay. All right. Awesome. Now, we're going to spend the remaining 8 minutes, remainder of the 8 minutes. How do we live this out? This will be corporate. So, how do we live this out? It's fun to say this. Now we got to live it. Now, I want you to understand, this is only by God's grace. I'm not talking about going and putting yourself under law. What I'm saying is, what does this look like daily in our lives now? What can you do as a parent? What can you do as a young couple? So what can a parent do with this information?
Use the application for their children.
Wait, say that again?
Applying the applications to your children.
It's a little vague. I need a sentence. That sentence incorporates too many vague ideas, abstracts. I need concrete. This is, I just took this truth. We did all this work. I need to just do it in God's grace.
So whether it be your children or someone's wrongs, you be quick to forgive them. Christ forgives them, but also taking the time to have people moments and disciple them. I'm not a parent yet.
Okay. All right, what would that look like?
That would look like you could use very harsh language with your children when they make a mistake, but instead take a more instructional approach and be humble but firm.
So I want y'all to think about, I think I like what you said. What you said is, I think, dead on. But when I put a don't or a do, it's kind of like it kind of turns you off. And I just caught myself writing, don't do this.
I thought you said dole, but that's okay.
But so say that, but when you're doing this, but you see, I don't want it to become a list of do's and don'ts, because that's not what it is. It's a list of this is the way that I want God, this is the way God wants you to live your life. And so he's not sitting there, do this, don't do this. So that's why I'm trying to get y'all to put it in a concrete sentence. That way it's something you can take and you can live it out today. So just give me that sentence a little bit easier.
Take a humble approach.
So what would that look like with your daughter, Fiona?
Well, it doesn't look like that.
Okay, so I want y'all to think about this. Do you see how y'all are saying great things, but I'm like, that's an application? I need to know, how can I do it? That's a response.
Application?
No, response. Response. That is, so response is the action, okay? You are applying, you're doing the application and the response. So So I just want you to see, do you see how easy we just mix application with response? It's easy to say these things, but how do we practically live them out? That's the hard part. This is the hardest part of biblical. I think this is the hardest thing. But we have God's grace to do in our lives. Thank God. But do you see what? That's why I'm kind of harsh, because I'm like, no. That's an application. That's too abstract. Because we're moving from abstract to a little bit less abstract and moving to I need to know concrete. So what's another one? That was great, Rachel.
It was really good.
What you got, Trent? That's selfish, and I'm just playing. But wait, say it again. Giving up place and body.
I don't know. Basically, their life of giving up, you know. As long as
all right, what else?
Instead of, like, forcing someone to do something that, you know, is right, you can entreat them.
Like between siblings, yeah. As a parent, maybe.
Yeah.
Appealing to an older sibling about a younger sibling's wrong, that's wrong with them.
Yeah. And that could also.
You're going to tell a kid what entreat means?
No. Like, you as a parent, you would do that. You, instead of, like, commanding them to do something.
You allow them to make the right decision.
Yeah.
So that kind of falls under take humble approach to instruction.
Yeah.
I think laying down your pride, like, apologizing. Your kids.
Okay.
Or your spouse. Yeah.
I think it's a young couple of just not holding your spouse like your prisoner for their sins.
Ooh, that's great. So, young married?
Prince perfect.
So, how do we say that without saying don't?
Be quicker, let him out of the doghouse.
Ooh, now we're getting into it. Okay, what else?
I think for your kids, encouraging them, don't write this yet, I'm just going to talk for a minute. Encouraging them to go to the Lord, right? So like with Noah, like when he has a bad attitude about something, I'm just frustrated with him. And instead of me expressing that frustration with him, it is better for me to explain it, the situation to him and ask him to go talk to the Lord about it, right? Buddy, I know you're aggravated with your sister, right? But the way you're responding, do you think that's right?
Yeah.
And he tells me, he knows it's not right, right? But he's still struggling with it. Well, go talk to the Lord about that, right? I can't change that in you, yeah. Right? But he can change that in you.
Amen.
And he always comes back, and he's, right, it's taken care of, right? So encouraging them to go to the Lord. I can't answer all his questions, and I can't change his heart, right? But the Lord can, and teaching them early to go to him for that, I think, is
important. Okay. All right, anything? We got to get one more in there. Guys, I want y'all to think about this. We live right here. This is where a lot of us live. A lot of people. We live in this application, but we don't live in the response. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying that's just, we get to this point, and we just kind of stay there. But it's like, we need to get to this point where we're responding to what we're learning, or else it's in vain. Can I say this one more thing? I'm sorry. As a teacher, especially with the children, I want to teach the kids how to do this whole process. And so that's why it's important to me and to every, I think it should be important to everybody, is that we take the time. I mean, we spent 120 minutes on the book of Philemon, you know, and we haven't even started draining it of all its juices yet. We're getting some of the juices. You see what I'm saying? And so what I want you to understand is we got to take our time when we do this. We can't just jump from the text to the interpretation without making all these observations that help us stay clear of making a mistake in the way we interpret, and then going from application to writing down what can we respond to in concrete sentences. Does that make sense? Because if we just say the gospel, Jesus, we didn't do anything. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Hey, what you got, Anna?
Oh, I just had hopefully another response with the application to discipling the believers. Practically, that could look like, taking time to go get coffee with someone that you know is new and share with them maybe what's going on in your life, or just opening your life to someone to have a relationship. I think it's really clear that Paul had a relationship with Onesimus and Philemon, and you could see that now. I don't know what that looks like all the time, but you can tell he had a relationship.
I think that goes even to the other application of laying down your life, like sacrificing your time, like an evening at home to have friends over to pray and disciple or coffee or
Yeah. I love that. Anybody else got? We're going to wrap up. So I just want you to, I want to point this out. Y'all did amazing. I know I was harsh on some of y'all, but it's good. I'd rather, be a little harsh here. And so, because I think when I do this kind of stuff, I got to answer to the Lord for what I put before you and what I told you to do and what I'm encouraging you to do. And that's why I'm like, Lord, I'm going to be a little hard here. But hopefully it'll spare, it'll help them in their life. So remember what we're doing. The meaning is what? What's the meaning?
The original meaning?
So what is the meaning of the text? Because remember, meaning and significance are different. The meaning is what? The author's intended what? Who said it? Good. This never changes. That will never change. The significance equals what? Yes. So that goes into interpretation and application. Today's value. Or today. How is it important to us today? This what? This changes. Okay. Doesn't mean the text is insufficient. It just means the text is even that more sufficient because it applies to us because we do all those observations to get to to find our main point to also what? Interpret. What did it mean to the original audience? And then we apply. What does it mean for us today? And then response is how do we live what it means to us today?
I guess you cannot look at it as much as change as much as multifaceted, like a diamond. When you turn a diamond in light, it doesn't change. You just see the light from different angles.
I like to say change because it's a little more concrete. Yeah, in my opinion. Because a diamond, man, you don't know what people think about when they say diamond. But when I say change...
But to say change, you could also make an interpretation that it's not valid. Never mind.
I agree. I'm glad you brought that up. Because that's why we do all this legwork. And that's why I gave you all those tools to help you make an interpretation that's valid. Does that make sense? And just a reminder, no major Christian doctrine is based on any text that is in question. Does that make sense? It's like we can debate on what these things mean, but the Bible's simple enough we can understand what the meaning is with just reading it, observing it, writing down our observations and things like that. And that's I talked to y'all about using the commentaries and all that and how we can use those things. So I'm just going to pray for y'all real quick, and then we'll head out. Yeah.
Real quick. Did anybody find this really complicated? Like, you're like, oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
I didn't find it complicated, but as a busy mom, I'm like, oh. How am I going to have time to do this? That's like a thought that went
through. Let me say this.
That's a good question.
I think the way he laid it out, the principles are simple, right?
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily have to go through a long paper drawn out process when you do this. You can keep these principles in mind. So I thought it was simple. And then did we have a good time?
Yeah.
And thinking through the word like this, right? We absolutely had a good time. And so as we move forward,
shall do this.
The study of John,
cool.
It's exactly what we want to keep doing. So I would love for everybody to keep it simple. And keep it fun so that we are enjoying our learning of Christ and His Word in these coming months. So.
Yeah. And can I say this real quick, Rachel? While she's talking, can y'all fill this out? It's just a little review. Don't put your name on that. I'm just going to collect those. That's for my personal information. If you hated it, if you didn't like it, something could have been better, write it down. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I hurt y'all's feelings. It's okay. All right.
Yeah, as y'all writing that down, I just want to encourage y'all with this too. Like, when you're sitting down and studying this and studying the Bible and stuff like that, and whether it's super simple or really drawn out, this is God's word to us. And it's beautiful that even in the book of Philemon, you can see a picture of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so I encourage you, even as you're studying, to ask yourself, what does this text say about God?
Because ultimately, like, he's the one, when we read this, we're supposed to be drawn in to worship God. Not just, like, these practical applications, but it should make you fall in love more with Jesus.
Yep.
And, like, when I read Philemon, I see a picture of me as a bondservant or slave, and the whole theme of reconciliation, and Jesus saving me and redeeming me and reconciling me to himself, which was his original intent from the beginning in the garden. So it's just beautiful even when you read and you ask yourself, okay, like, I'm reading all this and we're getting all this out of it, and how can I respond to this? But also, what does it say about Jesus? Because when you read through scripture, Jesus is everywhere, even if his name isn't mentioned. And so it's just really beautiful, and I appreciate Henry for doing this, and just to get us just to stop and just to consider, what is it saying? What does this mean for me? You know, how do I practically respond to this? I just think it's really, really beautiful. So,
amen.
Thank you.